You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Gordon Brand Jr.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Brandon Grace retains the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters.
To win is tough, but to defend is even tougher. We all know that, but it was great. You know, I played some really good golf and now I know what it takes to defend a title. This is a special one. This is one that really put me on the map last year. Now winning it twice is just extra special.
And we'll hear more from the champion later in the show. Grace took the title in Doha by two shots from Torbjørn Erlesen and Rafa Cabrera-Bello.
Started good today, made my mistake on 8 and then it was hard to get the birdie on the card, but had a very strong finish and obviously very pleased with the result.
I had a lot of chances today, but nothing really went in, and I missed that short putt on 10, which hurt a lot. I never really got the pace in the greens. Had a few good lines, but then it was short, and when I got it to the hole, there was not a good line, so it was just a little bit uphill on the greens.
So we have a full review of the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters, and we'll look ahead to the conclusion of the Desert Swing at the Amiga Dubai Desert Classic. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm very pleased that alongside me is Gordon Brand Jr., stalwart of the European Tour and still hitting his shots and clubs in anger. How are you, Gordon?
Oh, I'm very good. Thank you very much for that introduction, Robert.
A lot of anger, actually.
No anger left in me now.
What about Brandon Grace, then? Do you think he's very angry after a successful defence?
No, I think that's probably the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Is to go and defend, and four rounds in the 60s, round a very windy, difficult golf course.
You played the course.
It's always windy there, and some very demanding short holes on the course, but you can make it up on the par fives. But four rounds in the 60s, great victory for him.
What makes Brandon Grace such a good wind player? Because he's won the Dunhill Links, he played well in the US Open last year, which was a Lynx-y type course, Chambers Bay. So, you know, there's an Open Championship waiting for him.
Yeah, I think there are certain players that just cope with the wind better. I mean, Paul Laurie, for one of them, who's actually unfortunately had a bad last round. I just think it's your ball control, really. A lot of players don't change their game when it comes to wind conditions. And I think if you've got the ability to change your game and play within yourself, then you've got a chance. So Brendan Grace does that wonderfully, and so he wins on tough golf courses.
Do you think Paul Laurie, having a two-shot lead going out into the final round with the windy conditions, would have been licking his chops?
Definitely, no question. I didn't see a 78 coming from Paul Laurie. He's won the Dunhill, and he's won this Qatar Masters twice. So he's well-equipped to play the tournament and know the golf course, but I didn't see 78 coming from him.
It was a display of composure from Brandon Grace, which was pretty difficult in the gusty conditions because, you know, a lot of players were missing greens because of the wind and having to sort of scramble to make their pars, and he did that unbelievably well.
Well, I think that the thing is, when it comes down to maybe the last nine holes, and in it is tough conditions, which may have played into his hands because he obviously realised that someone wasn't going to make a dramatic challenge to him, you have got to, you know, be composed in any conditions, and I think it's even harder when it's windy, but I think ball striking and thought pattern is very important when it's windy.
Rafa Cabrera-Bello hit two beautiful woods onto that hole and had a putt for an eagle to perhaps push Grace a little bit more, didn't quite make the eagle putt, and he birdied. Still, Brandon Grace couldn't really afford to hit it in the water, and he just ripped a driver down there and a long iron right into the heart of the green. How impressive is that on that hole?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that is the thing of champions. They tend to finish well. I mean, as you say, left of that green is not very good, and right is not either, but to knock it into the middle of the green really gives you some satisfaction.
Yeah, well, I cast my mind back of players that played that 18th well under pressure. Chris Wood.
Chris Wood driving a 5-iron and the putt went into an eagle for his first maiden victory, yes. Yeah. They will stand on that last hole knowing downwind, maybe a bit off the left, that it is achievable to get the green, but still takes some two big hits.
And what about the chasing pack? There were a lot of players in there that made a little bit of a name for themselves, dealing with the pressure, dealing with the conditions and having a good finish.
Well, we've got a couple of Englishmen there. We've got Andrew Johnson and Lee Slattery. Lee Slattery is been on the tour for some time now, has won Madeira and Russia, so he's someone to certainly look out for. But we've also got Andrew Johnson as well. He's plied his trade through the Challenge Tour, age 26, was an England boy. He's got two Challenge Tour victories, turned pro at plus three, so he's gone down the right line. So certainly is a name to look forward to, Andrew Johnson.
Absolutely, and he looked very comfortable as well, right in the heat of the battle. Okay, let's hear from the winner of the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters, Brandon Grace.
To win is tough, but to defend's even tougher. We all know that, but it was great. I played some really good golf, and it paid off at the end. And now I know what it takes to defend a title, but this is a special one. This is one that really put me on the map last year. I said it before, I'll say it again, and just now winning it twice is just extra special.
Elaborate on what it does take to defend a title, because I guess your expectations when you come into a week are a little bit different to usual.
Yeah. Obviously this week is a little bit calmer with a Wednesday start. There's not that much time to make a fuss about everything, but it's still tough. The one thing that really worked out well was the weather. I've played well in tough conditions. I like tough conditions, and it was one of those ones where you just had to stay patient and let it happen. And I think that's what I did really well this week. I never forced things. I got a little bit greedy towards the back of the front nine, just started going off the putts a little bit. But the clutch putting, the putts coming back, was on top form today. And I think that was a big thing that saved me.
We mentioned on the third day that essentially you were relatively quiet for the first 2 days, but you moved at just the right time, didn't you?
Exactly. The same as last week. If you look at Ricky, he was very quiet the first 2 days and then got in the groove and got it going. I knew the weekend's going to be tough. It was really just grinding it out and try to put a number up there and give yourself a chance of winning it. And, 3 under, I didn't think that was going to be enough, but I'm glad it's enough. I didn't really have anything more that I could have added to that.
It's nudged you even closer to the world's top 10, and it sets up a great 2016, doesn't
it? Yeah, exactly. That's been a long-time life goal, and, it's been close. And, I'm very close now. But, like I said before, I just need to keep working and let the clubs do the talking, and hopefully I can be in there soon and, then set a new goal.
Yeah, well, Brandon, absolutely delighted with that. And many thanks once again to Nick Dye, who trowels out all the best interviews for us here on the Race to Dubai show. Did a corporate thing with Callaway, and they had some of their players there hitting shots. And Brandon was hitting pitches for the public. They were allowed in to watch him and listen to him and see how he went through his pitching routine. And he was telling me, this was not very long ago, a few months, that he went back to a 56-degree sandwich. And instead of having a wedge for a yardage, he used that one wedge and adjusted himself for the yardage, getting more feel into his game that way, rather than going, oh, lob wedge 80 yards, sand wedge 105, whatever. Using the one club to play all the different yardages was going to improve his game, his pitching game. He's been right.
I think that's a great ploy. I think sometimes the players get a bit robotic. It's a three-quarter swing with a 60 to go this distance, but there's actually no feel involved in that. I think you become a better player if you use one club more often, open the blade, play it in a different position, and so you become more of a feel player, not a dial-in to a yardage player.
Yeah, certainly he's a very natural player, Brandon Grace, and just hovering around the top 10 in the world, and the only way for him I see is upwards and into the top 10. Ranked during the week, driving distance, he was sixth, so he was hitting it a long way. Putts, he was first, so he was holding his putts. Third in birdies made, and first in the least amount of bogeys. So when you put all that together, Gordon, if you haven't won the tournament, there's something wrong.
Someone's played better than you. But he's well up on the stats.
He sure is. It was his seventh European Tour victory, which ties him alongside Louis Oosthuizen, and his first since last year in Doha. So even though he had a great year and ran close a lot of times, particularly in majors, getting over the line is important to him, and he's just done that this week. He's the first player to successfully defend the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters, but the third player to record multiple victories at the event, following Adam Scott and Paul Laurie. It's his sixth consecutive top eight finish on the European Tour, and so has not finished outside the top eight so far this season. Now, that's consistency, Gordon. That's hard to do.
I think that makes for good reading, doesn't it? Obviously, it's great when it's all flying for you and you're winning a tournament, but to show that sort of consistency, it's good stuff.
Now, the rest of the field, let's hear from some of the other contenders in Doha, starting with Torbjørn Erlandsen. A 15-foot birdie putt on the last clinched the share of second place for the Dane, the same position he held going into the final round.
I had a lot of chances today, but nothing really went in, and I missed that short putt on 10, which hurt a lot. I never really got the pace on the greens. Had a few good lines, but then it was short, and when I got it to the hole, there was not a good line, so it was just a little bit uphill on the greens.
You seem to be smiling out there just about all the time. It might be rueful at times, but looks like you're enjoying your golf once again.
Yeah, I tried to change my mental side a little bit, and I really enjoyed this week from the start. Even though I hit a few bad shots, I was still very good mentally, so that was a good sign, and that's what I have to keep working on.
Yeah, Torbjørn Erlandsen, a great start to his career, and then he fell away, and now he's finding his way back, Gordon. Have you seen him hit it?
No, I haven't, but I like what he's saying about actually... He's not talking about the swing, he's talking about his composure on the golf course. And
yeah.
I think a lot of players will almost mark it down, oh, I put a bad swing on it. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? You know, does it the bad swing or the bad thought?
Do you know the answer to that, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
No, there is no
definitive. There is an answer. No, there is, because apparently the egg came first.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Robert. What's that got to do with the golf?
Well, it just stops.
I brought it up.
I can see your furrowed brow, and I see consternation. That's why I've let you know that. So in future, you won't have to worry about it. You know, sleepless nights, wake up. And think about the egg or the chicken. Okay. It's the egg that came first.
Right. But I think a lot of the players, and certainly when you get on the European Tour, you're an exceptional golfer.
Yeah.
I think they often forget that, and they forget the pattern or how they got there and why they're there, and it's a lot to do with their mindset.
Yeah, the great thing is he realised the attitude wasn't good. He's addressed it, and he's seeing what a change of attitude can do for your game.
Exactly.
And he's a really, really good young player, to Bjørn Ullesson. Also tied with him on 12 under par for second place was Rafa Cabrera Bello. The Spaniard closed with three birdies to finish in the top three of the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters for the third time in 6 years.
Started good today, made a mistake on eight, and then it was hard to get the birdies on the card, but had a very strong finish and obviously very pleased with the result, yeah.
Well, this is a very positive start to 2016, isn't it? The way you performed last week in Abu Dhabi, brilliant finish here.
Thank you, yeah. I played good last week. I was playing good coming into this week. Played very good throughout the entire week and obviously managed to score as well and finish second in the end.
Very consistent ball hitter, Rafa Cabrera Bello, and gets himself into a lot of good positions. You know, you look at some players and you think, that guy's actually operating at the max. I don't think he is. I think he's got a lot of improvement going in the right direction to come, Rafa Cabrera Bello.
Oh, I'm sure you have. As you say, you always see his name, but it's just due with a little bit more, and I'm sure there is more to come from the Spaniard. It's not done for him.
No, far from it. Now, tied fourth were English duo Andrew Johnston and Lee Slattery, alongside Bradley Dredge, who finished with four birdies to vault himself to 11 under par.
Yeah, really pleased. Obviously, you know, you can do it around here. The last four are downwind, so, crosswind on 17, but, you know, hit some really good shots and, you know, made a couple of slippery putts coming in, so I was pleased with that. I thought it was really tough today. The green's a little bit firmer, so it was even more difficult to get the ball close to the hole. So, you know, I thought anything under par today was a good score.
35 miles an hour the wind was gusting, Gordon. That's almost on the limit for there, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, the greens seem to be up a lot, almost on a turned-up saucer. And so, I mean, we heard one of the guys talking about it was tough to get the pace of the greens and because it's always going away from you. Very grainy greens as well. And Bradley saying there he hold a couple of slippery putts and you hate slippery putts. You know, they always feel they're going to get away from you. We haven't actually heard from Bradley Dredge for some while. He seems to have fallen off the radar.
Yeah, a little bit and was actually playing mini tour events in Spain before he kind of got back on track. So it's a good early start for him. And he's very capable, Bradley Dredge.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I think he's realised that maybe he's tinkered a bit too much and is now getting back to what he knows he's good at.
Well, if I'm right, I think he could have shot 59 in Madeira 1 year. I think he shot 60. He needed birdie the last, so that's how good he is.
That's absolutely right. You get anywhere close to 59, you're a decent player. Now, six players tied for seventh, including Spain's Sergio Garcia.
I was very happy with the first 2 days, very disappointed with the last two. I felt very comfortable with the way I was swinging the first couple of days, and I just didn't really have it on the last two. And you know, a little bit disappointed with that, obviously. But, you know, if you look at it that way, I guess where we're going to finish is not too bad. You know, without feeling great on the weekend, I guess not too bad at all.
Great player, Sergio Garcia. Phenomenal ball striker. At the end of his career, Gordon, will it say Sergio Garcia, worldwide winner, never won a major? Or will it say Sergio Garcia had a terrific career, capped off by one or two major wins? Which one are we going to read?
I think it would be a miss if Sergio didn't win a major. And I don't know if we're going to see that now. And I think it would be a real pity because as you watch him, he just isn't exceptional from tee to green.
Oh, he is, and it
just doesn't happen for him. As he says, I didn't feel right at the weekend for whatever reason. But his ball striking is not the problem. It's actually getting the job done.
But sometimes you have to... I mean, hard for me to second guess Sergio, but sometimes you have to go out and perform when you don't feel any good. It doesn't feel right. It is a bit of a struggle. You are sort of grinding and gouging out pars when you don't feel like it, or the swing's not exactly, you know, you're fighting. You've got to go out there and fight.
More often than not, it's not right. You know, it doesn't feel right. You don't go out and flush it every single week, so you've just got to play with what you've got.
Trouble is with Sergio, he probably does.
Flush it.
Yeah,
he is a flusher.
He is.
So, you know, he's got the game, but it just doesn't fulfil, I think, his potential at the moment.
Well, let's hope that he does get that elusive major at some point. Maybe even this year. Why not? Why can't Sergio win one this year?
Exactly.
We'll see. Tips-wise, I went for... Well, I'll say Jamie was in your seat last week. He went for Thomas Peters, who finished second the week before.
Which I think was a great pick.
Great pick, Thomas Peters, who in the end didn't work out, tied 52nd. And I went for, yes, Brandon Grace. Yes, Brandon Grace, who he won, Gordon.
Yes, Robert, he was a defending champion. Quite unusual for you to pick him.
Yeah, and I'm very proud to say that I picked Brandon and backed him. So, yeah, he finished first, Thomas Peters 52nd. Let's see if you do better than Jamie. I mean, anything better than 52nd, you'll have beaten Jamie Spence. You will get your opportunity when we get to the Amiga Dubai, OK?
Not a lot's going to change
well,
there.
Just relax and think about who you're going to pick.
I've thought about it. I'm ready to say it already.
By the way, look out for the new improved Fantasy Race to Dubai game, which will be live for my European Tour users from March on europeantour.com. Now, top 10 in the Race to Dubai, red like this. A big tie for 7th, Richard Bland, who missed a little tiddler at the last that cost him quite a few pounds, that's for sure, euro, with George Kurtzier, Tommy Fleetwood, Sergio Garcia, Ricardo Gouveia, who won the Challenge Tour last year, and Louis Oosthuizen. And then tied for 4th, it was Bradley Dredge, Andrew Johnston, Lee Slattery. Tied for 2nd was Cabrera Bello and Ullison. And Brandon Grace, as we said before, was the worthy winner of the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters for 2016. No golf rankings this week because we are a day ahead of the finish in America, so there might be some movement, but as of now, everything's as it was. So 11th spot for Brandon Grace, who just won on the European Tour. Now, in the Race to Dubai, there has been movement because Brandon Grace has won. So, first is Henrik Stenson, Brandon Grace is 2nd, Chris Wood is 3rd, Charles Schwartzel 4th, Thomas Peters 5th, Danny Willett 6th, Nathan Holman, who won down Australia 7th, Victor Dubuisson 8th, Rafa Cabrera-Bello 9th, and Ben Ahn is 10th, the Korean. Fantastic young player, he sure is. So the Desert Swing, Gordon, is coming to an end. Sadly, it's coming to a close because all the players love going out there, the playing conditions, the different tests on the different golf courses. So we started in Abu Dhabi, just had Qatar, and now we're off to Dubai for the Amiga Dubai Desert Classic on a course that's a lot of fun to play, don't you think?
It's where the Desert Swing started. I remember playing in 88, 89 we didn't play, but and then, of course, we've got Doha and Qatar joining. It is a wonderful golf course, lots of low scoring, and it's going to really fit the guys that hit it a long way. Lots of dog legs, but a wonderful golf course.
When you first went there,
yes,
everyone was in downtown Dubai. The golf course was way out of town. Nothing there except the golf course. Now, Jumeirah, which is like another city, right, yes, in front of the golf course, it's enveloped the course almost. It's incredible.
Well, literally, when we got there, and that was the mid-80s, we stayed at the airport hotel, and we drove, 25, 30 minutes to the golf course, and there was nothing between us and the golf course. Now it's just concrete city, hotels, restaurants, all the way down the strip now. It's changed extraordinary.
Do you think that will continue all the way to Abu Dhabi, down that road?
Probably come straight up to Chiswick here eventually, yeah.
Do you think it'll get to Chiswick?
I think so, yeah.
OK. Will it brush past the West Country? Or
No chance. Planning permission's tough down there.
So you're still England's green and pleasant land down there,
exactly,
are you?
Exactly, yes. Thank you.
What sort of a player does well in this golf course?
Someone who drives the ball well, because that is key on the golf course. It's a risk and reward. Par fives, you can get up in 2, and also you have to putt well because the greens are fast there.
Yeah, of the 3 layouts of Abu Dhabi, Qatar and Dubai, which one did you feel had the best greens?
This one they're going to play now, Dubai, by far. Qatar are quite grainy and quite inconsistent, you would have to say, because of the grain. You know, it's a slow one, it's a fast one, it's bending away from you, or the grain's coming into you. And then Abu Dhabi, just because they weren't quite as fast as Dubai.
OK. I'll give you a little flavour of the field that's going to be playing in
you
Dubai.
You do that, Robert.
Starting with the world number 3, Rory McIlroy, Henrik Stenson. I mean, they're both Dubai specialists, Henrik Stenson, Rory McIlroy.
Exactly.
Louis Oosthuizen, Danny Willett, Tongchai Jaidee, Martin Kaymer, Ben Ahn, Wiesberger, Andy Sullivan, Afid Barnrat, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Søren Kjeldsen, Lee Westwood.
Ernie Els.
You can keep going. I mean,
Darren Clark.
The field's terrific.
Kaymer, another specialist. Brilliant, brilliant field, as you would expect.
So, you know, with all that talent on show, plus the rest of the... I can't go through every player that's playing. Thomas Peters is playing, Torbjørn Erlandsen playing.
Didn't see your name, Robert.
Well, I'm not playing, but I talked about people with talent, but not extreme talent.
No.
That's why my name's not on this list.
Lee Slattery. Jimenez.
You're going to keep picking out names. You can keep going for an hour if you want.
Okay, thank you.
So I've given people a flavour of who's here.
Yes.
Then I want to know, you know, after you're very bullish, thinking that Jamie Spence was terrible at tipping last week, who is your tip for this week?
big mate of mine, Jamie's. I'm going for the same man. Thomas Peters, the Belgian man. Hits a long way. Strong player. Looks good. So, you know, I think this course will suit him rather than last week, which was a bit more of a thinking course. I think you can override Dubai. So, Thomas Peters.
You know, the thing about Thomas is he some guys kind of don't like to hit the driver. He loves to hit his driver.
Yeah, I mean, I never really understand that, why you don't like to hit a driver, because a bad swing with a three wood is equal to a bad swing with a driver.
So you like that?
Just
playing.
Go for it. Just play with your driver. You know, you should be one of your, hopefully, one of your strongest clubs in the bag. But I can never understand that. I don't like the driver, I hit the three wood. But the same swing will have the same result as a good three wood and a good driver.
Well, Thomas's mentor and hero is Nicolas Kolsaerts, who's blazed the trail for Belgian golf of late. And he started very well last week. He was starting to look like he did look a couple of years ago. So
I saw him play 9 last week, driving an iron, flushed it straight at the pin, and it was 600, nearly 700 yards, the ninth hole.
Yeah.
But he faded away, didn't he? But if that's his hero, he's got something to live up to.
Yeah, I think Kolsaerts is going to win again this year. I really do. I'm going to counter.
Oh yes, who's your pick?
Yes, I'm coming to that. I'm going to counter. Steady, Gordon. Steady. You're Thomas Peters with Louis Oosthuizen. Who started very well last week with a 65, still finishing the top 10. And, you know, you talk about great drivers. On his game, there's not many better than Louis Oosthuizen.
He's just probably the swing you would want to wake up to, wouldn't it? He's just beautiful swinger.
Oh, you'd like to look at your swing in the mirror and you are Louis Oosthuizen, is that what you're saying?
That doesn't happen. I love Oosthuizen. I think the whole demeanour of his game is exceptional. Obviously, he got the quality wins at St Andrews in a breeze, really. When he won the Open, it was unbelievable. So, Robert, I think he might give Thomas a match.
It's funny how they had, Retief Goosen and Ernie Els for all those years blazing a trail for South African golf. Then there was a bit of a lull, and then you had Oosthuizen come through, Schwartzel, Brandon Grace, you know, the next batch.
It always runs in patterns, doesn't it? You have a quiet period, and so, maybe Oosthuizen's your man, but...
Maybe Louis didn't like the fact that Brandon last week got to 7 wins and matched him. Maybe he's going to think, right, I'm going to win this week and just ease ahead again.
That is your hope.
That is my hope, and I pray that that's going to happen and I get 2 wins in a row. You, Gordon, you've pinned all your hopes on Thomas Peters, who is a fantastic young player and a potential Ryder Cupper when we get to September. That's it for now. Next week, we will review the Amiga Dubai Desert Classic and we'll look ahead to the Shwani Open. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Gordon Brand Jr.
Good luck, Thomas. Bye-bye.
Yes, off you go back to the West Country. And myself, Robert Lee, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.